The theme chosen for this morning comes from today's psalm, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him." It's a beautiful thing to reflect on, and that's what I'd like to focus on today. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. I think it helps us get into the gospel of this day, which is a little harder to reflect on because it's one of these disputes between Jesus and the Pharisees over what's permitted or not permitted on the Sabbath. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. I'd like to allow this word, this truth, this light to shine on some errors that are very common. One is that the Lord is not near. Another is that the Lord is near, but it's not a good thing for us. And the third one, that if the Lord is near, then he should do what we want. Okay, so those are the three topics we're going to try to, or the three errors we try to dismiss by the power of this verse from Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. It says here, the Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. Beautiful. It's really something to ponder. Many people, though, think that the Lord is far away. Maybe he's powerful, maybe he's all-knowing, but he's way out there and he doesn't concern himself with what we're really up to today. You might, think of a satellite or maybe one of these space telescopes. Sure, out there near Mars or someplace, there's a telescope. And if you want, if you have the right technology, you can aim the telescope and you can look at Jupiter or something and say, wow, that's really powerful. But it's not going to buy my breakfast. It's not going to find me a job. It's not going to help me with my family. So that's the way a lot of people think about God. Yes, he exists. He's powerful. And if you have the right technology, meaning if you're really spiritually attuned, or maybe if you're a monk on a mountain somewhere, then you can get him to do something for you. But most people can't really direct the telescope. And even if they could, it doesn't make any difference. Mali. That's not at all what God is like. He's not like a space telescope. He is near to all who call upon him. If you look at this little image on the song sheet, you can see how tenderly the Lord reaches out to the humble prayer here on the stairs. So that's the first thing to get out of our minds, but it's very common. People think God is very far away. And perhaps they have that idea because they don't experience his nearness. But notice how the verse says it. He's near to all who call upon him. Actually, he's near to everyone. He's nearer to us than we are to ourselves. But if we don't call upon him, if we don't open our hearts and our lives to him, we don't experience any nearness. It's as if he doesn't exist at all. So we have to call upon him. Call upon him in truth, the psalm says. Okay, the second error, which is also very, very common, is the idea that the Lord is near, but that is not good for us. That the Lord is near, but that his nearness encroaches on our freedom. As if it's a bad thing for God to be too close. Remember what the people of the Israelites in the Old Testament, when they heard about God speaking to Moses, they said, well, you talk to him, Moses, and then tell us what he says, because we don't want to be too close to God. They were afraid he might get burned up in his fire. Now, that's an attitude that some people have, a lot of people have about God, that God might be good, but not that good that we should let him get too close to us, because then he will encroach on us. He will make demands on us. If the first error about God being far away is God like a satellite, this error is like God as a prison guard. If you're a prisoner, well, the guards are all, they're the warden, the guards, they're very close, they're near. But they're near in a way that is oppressive. They're near in a way that is unpleasant because they're watching what you do, and if you violate the rules, then you'll receive consequences that are unpleasant. You might be put in solitary confinement, or you might be restricted. Some of your freedoms are restricted, and it's just a bad thing to have those guards around. It would be a lot better if I weren't in prison at all, and if there weren't any guards, I'd be free. And that's how people think. If God exists, then I am not free, but I am free, therefore God doesn't exist. That's the atheist kind of motto, no? If God exists, then I'm not free, but I am free, therefore God doesn't exist. That's the atheist motto, but then people who are not atheists but believe in God, but they believe in a God that is watching to see if you violate the rules and who is going to make your life unpleasant unless you are exactly perfect. This is something like what we see in today's gospel. The Pharisees see the disciples picking grain, which is a very insignificant act. It's not a violation of any law. It's not a violation of the Sabbath. But the Pharisees say, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? You see the attitude? That God is watching you, and he's going to catch you doing something, and he's going to punish you. That's Pharisees seem to think that that's what God is like. No, no. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. God is not a prison guard. He's a friend. Now, yes, he's all powerful and he's way beyond our imagination, but he's also tender and merciful. He is concerned about the details of our life, every hair of our head, every moment of our life, every breath we take, every beat of our heart. That's the Lord is so near that he knows more about us than we know, by far more. So the question, because how do we relate to a guard? Well, we keep our distance from a guard and we put on a good show so that he doesn't catch us doing anything wrong. But how do we relate to a friend? We let our guard down. We let our friend know who we are. We let a friend know what we're experiencing so that we can share that experience together. A friendship is not built on rules. A friendship is built on love. A lot of people define their friendships according to social media connections. And you know what happens? Sometimes people will post a message or a picture or something that's offensive to one of their friends. And the friend says, why did you insult me on your Facebook page? Why did you put something about me? They're spreading gossip about me. And then the person might respond, well, there's no rule. I didn't break any rules. And the friend would say, well, but rules, we're friends. Why would you do that to me? It doesn't make any sense. The nature of a friendship is that you choose what's good for the other person. You try to build up a bond of unity. That's our relationship with God. He's not trying to make us look bad. He's not trying to make us unhappy. He wants us to look good. He wants us to be good. And he'll do everything he can to make it possible for us to improve. Sometimes it means pointing out our sins, yes, because sin is bad for us. Sometimes it's a correction, but that's for our good. Okay, so the Lord is near to us, and it's a good thing that he's near to us because he's on our side. He's not trying to catch us breaking the rules. He makes the rules, or reveals the rules, because they're good for us. Okay, the third idea that sometimes creeps in among believers, among people who pray, like people who gathered here, is that if the Lord is near to us, if he's near to all who call upon him, well then that means he's listening to what I say and he's going to do what I tell him to do. That's wrong too. That's wrong. We're not in charge of God. He's in charge of us, and it's a much better relationship if we allow him to be in charge. If we try to take charge of God, inevitably we will run into conflict with we'll think that our will should dominate his will, which is always wrong, because he knows what's good. He knows the whole of what is good. We only know a little bit, and very often we choose what we think is good, or what we think will be good, and it contradicts the good that God has in mind. Someone has to yield, and it's not going to be God. If we won't yield, well then, we're going to be frustrated with God. We're going to think that he doesn't really listen to us, or that he doesn't hear our cry. It says here, the Lord fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. Well, we cry out to God, we want him to do something, he doesn't do it. And then we say, well, then maybe he's not listening, or maybe he's far away, or maybe he's not on our side. No. Let the word of truth, the word of God, sink more deeply into the heart and say, no, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. The Lord is near to me when I call upon him. The Lord does what is good for me, even if I myself don't know what it is. The Lord is my best friend. The Lord has in mind for me a greater good than I can even imagine, and therefore I will keep listening to him and keep calling out to him. Unlike the Pharisees, who think that God has to be an enforcer, and they want to be on God's side, they also have to be enforcers. The real truth about God, Jesus reveals at the end here, is that he's Lord of the Sabbath. He's not subjected to his own rules. He is the Lord over all the rules that are for our good. He makes it possible for us to find fulfillment in doing his will. We all want to be happy. We all want to grow. We want our loved ones to be happy and to grow, but we don't know the way very well. So we listen to God, we call upon God, we trust in God, and we know that God is near to all who call upon him. God is near to me when I call upon him. God is near to you when you call upon him. It's a great thing to be aware of when we pray, when we struggle, when our loved ones are in difficulty. Bring back into your heart this truth. The Lord is near. He's near to us when we call upon him in truth. He's near to us when we submit ourselves to him. He is always good. I think that's one of the expressions of the Couples for Christ. Oh, God is good all the time. God is good all the time. It's really true. But we have to let that sink in again and again. He's good. He's good. He's near. When I call upon him, he always responds in a way that is good for us.